This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, time for Fan Mail Friday, where we will be answering your questions and dropping some knowledge and feedback to help you kick the weekend off right. If you're new to the Art of Charm podcast, this isn't the best place to start. Most of our content is much more in-depth and longer format. So check out the best of at theartofcharm.com/best or the fundamentals toolbox at theartofcharm.com/toolbox. That's where we've got the fundamentals of body language, nonverbal communication, attraction, negotiation, networking, and everything else that we teach here at the Art of Charm. All right, let's cut to it. First things first, Mark says, too often when hitting on women, I get that feeling of disrespect toward them, knowing my goal is to sleep with them. Well, calling it hitting on women might be part of that, but I'll consider the potential for a relationship, but generally afterward. I have a huge respect for women, and when that feeling kicks in, it screws up my mood and my attitude. I know I shouldn't have that feeling because although they would never say it out loud, women are very much looking for partners with no strings attached, just like men. I found the best thing to do is remind myself that women love sex as much as I do, but I was wondering how other guys feel about this and how they deal with it. It sounds like you say you've got a lot of respect for women. I totally believe that you do, but I feel like your actions, Mark, might not really be reflecting that, and maybe you get negative reactions, and maybe that's why you start to feel guilty. Now, I'm reading into this a little bit, so I'm not totally sure here, but it also sounds like there's a lot of baggage attached from maybe past relationships or when you were younger that you might be better off dealing with in actual therapy. I mean, the thing is, I'm not saying you're screwed up or whatever. I'm saying that a lot of us guys are programmed this way because we hear only about how, oh, this guy's bugging me, he's being creepy, but we never hear about how much of a really nice phenomenon it is when a great guy comes and talks to you. That makes someone's day. It makes their week. That's how a lot of relationships start. It's creepy when she's not interested in you. So as long as you're being really respectful with it and you're taking no for an answer when she isn't interested and you're good at reading nonverbal communication and things like that when she's not interested, there's nothing really wrong with this. If you're still getting a negative reaction in yourself and you know that you're reading the situations correctly, then it might be time to talk to somebody about this. I feel like the times when I used to get these negative reactions in my gut was when I knew I was full of crap and I would just tell a girl anything because I wanted to sleep with them, aka high school slash college. As an adult, as a grown-ass man, you know, the cards are already kind of on the table. And as long as you're being respectful of people in general and you're not lying to them, this shouldn't be an issue. And if you still find that it is, you might want to talk to somebody who's a professional. I don't know, Jason, am I on the right page here?
Yeah, you're totally on the right page. But it sounds like he's got this internal, like, conflicted feeling. Like, every time he talks to a woman, he should be looking for a relationship and not just a hookup. And, you know, hookups are fine as long as you're upfront that you're looking for a hookup. You know, not every relationship is going to be long term or something meaningful. Sometimes everybody just wants to go out and hook up. Otherwise, we wouldn't have Tinder. You know, just be honest about it and don't have this guilt, like this internal guilt. Like, I think somebody once told him, like, every time you're with a woman, it has to be with the goal of a relationship. And I think that's stuck somewhere in his head. And, you know, sometimes you're allowed to just go out and have fun and don't beat yourself up about it. But be honest with the women you're talking to.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. JT, we talked about Dev, by the way, and a couple weeks ago, was it Jason, who said he had outgrown his friends?
Yeah, it was like 2 or 3 weeks ago, or 3 or 4 weeks ago. Yeah.
Yeah. And our weekly email was a little bit more about that as well. If you guys aren't getting the weekly emails, go to theartofcharm.com and sign up for the transformation kit, and you'll be on our weekly email stuff too. We talked about Dev, who'd outgrown his friends, and JT wrote back with a kind of like a subtly brilliant suggestion. He says, continually invite them to things that you enjoy that you just know that they wouldn't. eventually they'll get the hint that you've changed. And I totally understand that. I mean, if you invite two kind of schmucky douchebag beer drinking frat guys to the Young Republican camporee with the goal of networking, they're not going to go. And eventually, if you keep inviting them to things like that and you stop calling them, it'll be because you've changed, man. And then you don't have to worry about it so much. I really think that's kind of a funny way to do it. It's not the it's not manipulative, right? You're literally offering to include them on things you're still doing. I think that the conflict comes when you try to do things with them that you no longer enjoy just to maintain the friendship. And Andy says, concerning the mutual friends that Dev has with his other friends that he's outgrown, I suspect that might not be a huge issue, as those mutual friends likely also see these same two guys as toxic and face the same dilemma, how to say goodbye. The real friends will stick with you. And Dev could talk with those friends in advance, get their temperature, or give them a heads up on his intentions. It's hard, it takes courage, but it'll be worth it. So if inviting them to the camporee doesn't work out and repeatedly inviting them to things that they won't want to do, you can always go the blunt route. But I think, honestly, people will get the hint that you've changed, and if they haven't, it doesn't really matter. I think these are two great suggestions from the AOC fanarchy out there.
No, these are genius. These are genius. I can't believe we didn't think of these, but JT was totally spot on. And I think your friends might actually be grateful that you started to do this, because I bet they don't want to be around them either. And you were the one that was bringing them around. And they're like, oh, man, when is he going to stop bringing these guys around?
Right, Dev, you're that guy who keeps dragging the anchors. And they're like, oh, he brought Jordan and Jason. Oh, Dev, get it through your head, man. Those guys suck. Yeah, totally. Pedro writes in, hey, Jordan, you often talk about the concept of scarcity and abundance mentality. I've been trying to find a podcast on this topic, but I decided I would just ask you. I was raised to value and take care of the things I have and never to waste food, for example. I think those principles make sense. However, they seem to leak into the general mentality and I think trigger a scarcity mindset, not only with things, but also with relations. One thing I don't want to do is create a scarcity mindset on my kids by pounding too hard on the principle of taking care of their stuff and not wasting food. I do want them to value and take care of their things, though. I understand that first I have to work on myself and my own mindset before trying to educate anyone, but I wonder how to pass down an abundance mindset to my kids without going into other extremes, which can be even more dreadful. Think of spoiled, entitled children. I know this sounds a lot like asking for parenting advice from a non-parent. I'm hoping you have access to better advice than I do. I would be happy with the understanding, the concept of scarcity and abundance, and then figuring out the parenting part myself. You said it right, Pedro. This is a good one. I'm afraid I might not be much help because I don't have kids, and so I can't speak from my own experience. But I'll say, I think teaching people to value something and teaching value, like valuing food or money, et cetera, is different than the scarcity abundance mindset sort of dichotomy. For me,
dichotomy.
Yes, I knew it was right on the tip of my tongue. For me, I plan on.
I thought you were going to go Yoda with do or do not. There is no try.
I was not going that way. No, I just had a brain fart. For me, though, I plan on making kids eat what they get because I was raised like that and I see value in that, unless it's junk food, in which case, you know, leave the fries, spend money wisely, etc. But also show the kids how to create more of it, because once they create more themselves, they realize that the process isn't magical, difficult, or special. That's what abundance means to me. The idea that these things are also valuable might/should happen on its own because they had to earn some of it themselves. So they realize the abundance is there, but it's just not limitless or devoid of cost or consequence. So maybe drop the scarcity abundance thing and teach value instead. And Jason, you had a hilarious, well, depending on your perspective, story of this in your own life.
No, Pedro, you nailed it at the beginning. You said you were raised to value and take care of the things that you had. And, you know, when I first, I was kicked out of my house when I was a kid and I got to go live with my dad, and my dad taught me the value of money. And he taught me that by saying, we're going to go earn your allowance this week. And every Saturday and Sunday morning, we would get up and we would hit every dumpster that we could within a 5-mile radius, go dumpster diving and find aluminum cans, crush them, take them to the recycling center. And that was my allowance for the week. So I learned to value money because I was literally diving in trash every week just to get my allowance so I could go buy like my skateboard wheels that week or some candy when I went to the store. You know, that was really how I learned to value money, because I found out how hard it was to work for it and earn it. And I think you probably don't want to have your kids dumpster diving nowadays because they might get stuck with a needle or something, but I lived in a more innocent time. But yeah,
you just had like crazy, that's crazy parenting. I'm sorry. I won't get into that.
I tell you what though, my dad and I had so much fun doing that. It was one of the, that was one of my most cherished moments with my dad, was going out there and doing that. When we would find like a dumpster that somebody had dumped like a ton of cans in, we'd be out there crushing them, throwing in the bag, and we'd be like, woohoo, we just made 67 cents. That's awesome.
Oh my gosh. Well, hey, listen, man, whatever you need to do to bond with your dad, I think that's interesting. But yeah, that is extreme, but hey, it'll do it, man. So teach value instead of scarcity and abundance, right? All right.
Over the last 17 years, we have launched our fair share of online courses, coaching programs, and finding the right platform has always been a challenge.
They say if you do what you love, you never work a day in your life. But if you're an entrepreneur, you know the hard work that comes with it. That's why you need Kajabi. Kajabi makes it easy to run your entire online business from one platform, so you can focus on what you love, creating.
Kajabi is the ultimate all-in-one platform that helps creators and entrepreneurs build successful online businesses by unlocking predictable recurring revenue.
No matter your niche, Kajabi makes it easy to turn your skills, passions, and experiences into enriching online courses, exclusive membership sites, subscription podcasts, thriving communities, personalized coaching, and more.
The best part? Kajabi doesn't cut into your revenue because everything is owned and controlled by you. So keep 100% of what you earn.
And with Kajabi, you also get robust analytics, easy payment options, email marketing tools, and customizable website templates, all built in.
You don't even need a huge audience to make sustainable income. There are thousands of creators on Kajabi making six and seven figures with less than 50,000 followers.
Right now, Kajabi is offering a free 30-day trial to start your business if you go to kajabi.com/charm. That's KAJABI.com/charm.
Go to Kajabi.com/charm and join the creators and entrepreneurs who have made over $7 billion.
Hey, Art of Charm listeners, I'm excited to share a new podcast I've been absolutely binging. Winning is an everyday mindset, and Craig Robinson and John Calipari are here to help. On Ways to Win podcast, Craig and Coach Cal use their on-court wisdom to solve your off-court problems. Whether it's trouble at home or a workplace dilemma, the coaches will help you find a winning formula for success. You'll hear from prominent athletes, business leaders, and celebrities who reveal insights that made them into the leaders they are today. And don't miss President Obama sharing how he deals with pressure by projecting confidence, believing in your team, and taking criticism. Listen to Ways to Win wherever you get your podcasts.
George says, my sister, who is 20 years older than me, I'm 27, so the sister's 47, asked to borrow $3,000. I'm sure this was very hard for her to do, and of course I'd like to help her. My concern is she is atrocious with money. She's always broke. She's borrowed from our parents many times. To my knowledge, she has always paid my parents back. She needs the money to pay off some medical bills from a recent health problem, as well as the taxes on her house, which are back due. With all this going on, she still continues to smoke every day and drink all the time. She routinely drops her daughter off at my parents' house for the entire weekend so she can go to the lake and party with her significant other and their friends. I say this all because she obviously has some issues with her priorities. If I were to loan her the money, is it out of line to attach a copy of Ramit Sethi's book or another finance book like The Richest Man in Babylon? If I just give her the money, she learns nothing. But my hope is a book will teach her how to better prioritize her finances. Thanks for any help on the show. Here's my thoughts. Why isn't she borrowing the money from your parents? That's my first thought. So there's something fishy going on here. Maybe you just left out a detail that wasn't important, but it seems like maybe they drew the line and maybe you should do the same. But I'll humor you on this one as well and say, I'm sure it was hard for her to ask her 27-year-old brother since you were born when she was 20. But something weird is going on here. I just can't shake it. She's also, yeah, she's terrible with money. You're not going to be able to teach an old dog new tricks. Jason, I mean, you said it better than I could. She clearly, this is not going to be a priority for her. If you can spare that money, great, but don't expect it back anytime soon. You might not even know. Maybe your parents are telling her she paid him back because they don't want you to freeload, but maybe she's not doing that. So I would check with your parents too.
Yeah. And if you gave her a book, the first thing she's going to do is throw it at you.
Yeah. But
Have the parents actually gotten any of their money back? And why don't they just sell the kid and, you know, pay off her medical bills?
Ouch, you went to the sell the kid. But seriously, though, there's something wrong here. We're not getting all the information. I think there's probably, I don't think we're getting the full story, but no, you can't force somebody to do the self-improvement thing. If she really needed help, she'd go, man, George, you're 27 and you make so much more money and you're so much more flush than me. Can you show me what you're doing and where I'm going wrong? She would have asked you that, but no, she didn't do that. She said, hey, man, can I borrow $3,000? That was a difference, and that shows you her mindset versus yours. You're not going to change it. Definitely not by giving her a book that she doesn't want attached to a check. All right, this one comes from Michael. He says, good morning, Jordan. To make a long story short, I'm more well off than most. I have monthly income from investments. I have a decent job. I have the funds to maintain my passion for music, etc. I'm basically very independent. Because of these qualities, people, especially my loved ones, seem to cite them as reasons why it's quote-unquote easy for me and not them. And they almost excuse themselves from taking the harder path because I just had it better than they did. It feels invalidating and dismissive, and it's starting to hurt. I'm wondering what your response would be to such statements and responses to motivational attempts. On one hand, I get it. I sometimes get that visceral reaction of, must be freaking great to be you, you privileged a-hole, when I hear from tremendously successful people, but I staunch that unproductive voice quickly. What's the Jordan Harbinger rebuttal to the oh, how nice for you phenomenon? Well, here's a couple of things I caught in your message. You said, what would your response be to such statement and responses to motivational attempts? Are you trying to motivate your loved ones to make more money and do better? Because if so, and they're not asking you to do that, that is so obnoxious. They hate you for that. I know you mean well. I can tell by the way that you write, staunch that unproductive voice quickly, that you're very emotionally aware of yourself. So when you're trying to help other people, you're thinking, hey, man, I'm solving your problem here. You should just do this and this and this. They don't necessarily want to hear that unless they're asking. And even if they are asking, it still doesn't mean they want the real answer. So they're probably giving you that attitude because they're sick of hearing you try to help them out. Because in their mind, instead of hearing, here's how you get this handled, they're hearing, look how rich I am and how I made it. And look how much you're suffering because you don't know the things that I know. And that would burn bridges really quick. I do get this occasionally. You know, I'll be talking to somebody. I hang out with a lot of really cool people. But my family, not my immediate family, my extended family, there's a little bit of like, oh, nice thing that you got there. Where'd you get that? A lot of people are very, very proud of me and my extended family, which is mostly, you know, working class, middle class, whatever. But there's a lot of people that aren't, and I hear those little grumblings, but I just realize that it's just jealousy and they don't hate me and it's fine. And so when people give me the, oh, how nice for you, I don't stop in my tracks and go, but I worked for all this money, damn it. I just think, whatever, who cares? You know, at the end of the day, you win at life. If you've got a happier life, you've got your things in order and they're stressed out. I'm not saying these people are, but people who act like that and have that jealousy issue all the time and let it rule them are generally a little bit unhappy. So, I mean, who cares? You don't need to prove anything to them. I don't know, Jason, what do you think?
Yeah, he was a little bit kind of vague with that responses to motivational attempts line because it's hard to tell if he is the one that's giving the motivational attempts or if they're giving demotivational attempts with the nice to be you thing. But at the end of the day, you said it best. It's just like, you know what? You're winning. They're not. Let it fall off your back like water off a duck and just keep trucking along and doing your thing. And you know what? Every time that they give you, you know, crap for it, just go, okay, well, I am going to go home and I am going to have my decent job and my passion in music and I'm going to be self-assured and independent and you're going to just be miserable.
Yeah, you don't have to say that though. That's just going on in your head, right?
Well, maybe.
Oh,
depends,
God.
Depends on how big of an asshole they are.
Take whose opinion you want. I hope that you guys enjoyed that one. Don't forget, you can reach us, jordan@theartofcharm.com. I read everything, and I'd love to hear from you. More from The Art of Charm at theartofcharm.com. Now, have a great weekend. Get out there and connect, and leave everyone better than you found them.
Thanks for listening to The Art of Charm. Get more confidence, relationship skills, life hacks, and everything for the extraordinary man at theartofcharmpodcast.com.